We hear this all the time.
There are so many updates and tons of community work happening. It's hard to keep up. How do I follow it all?
Here is your answer. Listen to the Gutenberg Changelog. Hello and welcome to our intro episode for this of this new podcast called Gutenberg Changelog. I am Birgit Pauli-Hahn, curator of the Gutenberg Times, and I'm here with my co-host, Mark Urain, designer at Automattic and core contributor to WordPress. So how are you today, Mark?
Hi, Birgit. I'm doing great. This is going to be a fun project with you. I'm looking forward to sharing Gutenberg updates and trends with everyone listening. How are you today?
Well, I'm so excited that we are doing this together, Mark. This episode is for our listeners to find out who we are and how the podcast came about and what we are trying to do. We also have a few news items that we're going to share with you. So here's the idea for the podcast. We collect over the whole week the news around Gutenberg from the design team, the core team, from around the broad community of WordPress, and even from outside. No longer than 30 minutes, some shows might even be shorter. It'll be for designers, developers, do-it-yourself site owners, and consultants. We don't go deep. We'll provide context and connect the dots for you. And Mark is the perfect co-host for many reasons. First of all, he's a brilliant designer and even a nicer person. Mark not only contributes to WordPress, though. I have seen you in the P5 space. What are other projects you work on?
Well, Birgit, thank you for that. I really enjoy the open source projects, learning about the communities and experimenting with ways to bring them together. Right now, currently, on my work at Automattic has me focusing entirely on Gutenberg and the WordPress block editor. So one of the things we heard in phase one was the desire for more open communication and transparency. And I believe this show is going to help. Birgit, you've been wrangling the Gutenberg Times for a while now. How did that come about?
Well, it's been almost 2 years now, and that I curate all things around Gutenberg, or how we call it now, the block editor. WordCamp Europe 2017 in Paris, I saw the first videos of Gutenberg, and I was fascinated. I wanted to learn all about it, and I started collecting what other people published while they were experimenting with it and exploring the new space. At first, I used Storify because of the easy embeds for Twitter and other media. I gained quite the following, and people asked me if there's an email newsletter. I didn't have one until about January 2018, when I finally gave in and started publishing on GutenbergTimes.com. Right now, I'm preparing our 106th roundup post. We also have a YouTube channel where you can watch our Gutenberg Times live Q&As with various people from the WordPress community. We recorded them last fall and this spring. And we will record future ones. Saturdays, I publish an e-newsletter with carefully selected links between 4 or 7 to various blog posts from other people that have great value for our subscribers. In the last 4 months, this space exploded with energy and with all, and it was really hard to keep up. I'm glad that you, Mark, agreed to host this with me, because two people see more than one, and I'm sure you have a quite a different perspective on looking at things. So it will be a great combination.
Yeah, I think it is too. It's going to be valuable for people who are really interested in Gutenberg and want to see what the latest is with it. So I hope this communication platform really works for them.
Yeah, I hope so too. And if listeners want to get in contact with us, I'm put this out right now. I just created the email address called changelog@gutenbergtimes.com. Just send your questions, your suggestions. I'm changelog@gutenbergtimes.com. So, Mark, you are heading to Berlin for WordCamp Europe. It's June 21st to 23rd. And I like the tradition that they actually have the contributor day on their first day. What are the design team's plans for the Contributor Day?
Yeah, Contributor Days are the best. It's an excellent opportunity to contribute and receive immediate help with anything that might be unclear. I like having Contributor Days at the beginning too, because you meet some great people that you're likely to interact with throughout the rest of the conference. This year, there's going to be a few things going on at the design table. First is the block directory prototype testing. Mel Choice has written up a test, and I'm not entirely sure who's going to be running the test, but we're going to be looking for feedback on the prototype for the new block directory coming. Number two is some Gutenberg design work. I don't have an agenda for that one yet, but it might include some relatively light issues that can be discussed in a group setting. I'll also help acquaint people to the GitHub repo and even the code base if they'd like to know how to navigate it all. Third, there's the Figma component building, right? There's a desire to organize our design library in Figma right now. And that's going to be handled by a few other people and getting people involved with creating those components and the interface. There's also triage that could possibly be happening. It's still up in the air right now, but it's important to consider.
Well, those are some great projects and topics to get involved in as a contributor. So for our listeners who are not deep in designer work, can you help me out briefly with what is Figma and how does the team use it? And is it a closed system, or can other designers across access the component library?
Yeah, so Figma, it's an interface design tool, and it allows the creation of UI elements, prototypes, etc. It's browser-based, but they do have a desktop application for it as well. And each of these offer a great collaboration environment so that several people can edit the files simultaneously. Our Figma component library is open, but if you want to make edits, you need an invite to the account. And that can be achieved by asking in the design channel in Slack.
Awesome. But if you don't want to edit, you just want to use those component libraries, you can download them and can use it in their work.
Sure.
Okay. All right. Well, it seems like quite the nifty tool. You're also on the session schedule for WordCamp Europe. I did not have you in my list of Gutenberg talks. So what's the topic of your talk?
Yeah, I'm not talking about Gutenberg. I'm talking about designing in the open remotely. It's an interesting juxtaposition between how no one ever sees me, but everyone sees all the work that I do. I'm going to talk about the benefits and of designing in the open and working remotely. And I'll go over to how to like how people can start doing this in their own processes at home.
Yeah, I don't want to get too deep into the designing in the open, because it has quite some challenges when a lot of people have opinions that they air. Oh, yeah. And to sort through them. I think we got a little taste of that last year.
For sure.
It sounds so interesting. And I have a lot of FOMO for next weekend, and I will be glued to my TV watching the live stream via Chromecast. And our listeners can too, of course. Mark's talk is on Saturday, June 22nd at 4 p.m. local time. That's 10 a.m. Eastern Daylight. That's at least a human time. The schedule is posted on their site. And for the Gutenberg Times, I pulled the Gutenberg-related links out, and you can follow along on the Gutenberg Times. We have the link in the show note. And I expect there will be more talks, though, about WordPress development that will include tips and tricks on the blog editor, because it has been out now for 6 months. And I think a lot of people will include some of it in their other talks. So speaking of live stream, I wanted to mention the JavaScript for WordPress conference, hosted by Zach Gordon over at javascriptforwp.com. It will take place online July 11th, 12th, and 13th. The first day are workshops, JavaScript and WordPress and React and WordPress. The second day are talks in four tracks with almost 40 speakers, which is immense work to put it all together. And Zach has been really working hard on this. The third day is a contributor day, where he helps other people to kind of get into documentation and or helping with documentation, and also with the GitHub repo. Also, the link is in the show notes. By the way, both of us will be talking on July 12th. Check out the schedule, which was just posted yesterday. Today is June 14th when we record this, and I hope we will publish that in 2 days. So,
yeah, so, Birgit, what is your talk about for that conference?
My talk will be the various plugins that are available now for Gutenberg, and what they, what they're about, and how different developers made the different design choices for their plugins, and how they handled some of the challenges of building plugins for Gutenberg.
Oh, that sounds interesting. For those listening, Birgit and I are speaking at the same time that day. So make sure you attend Birgit's talk.
Well, I wanna attend your talk, so we all we all have to look at each other. And well, there's it's about headless WordPress, is about design for WordPress. There's a lot of talks there, and we all probably will watch those for the rest of the year to catch up with all the good content over there. Well, chapeau to or shout out to Zach Gordon. Master of JavaScript education.
It's great.
Yeah.
So Birgit, our first topic for today, a little bit of what kind of this podcast is about here, is one of the topics is the AMP plugin release for 1.2. It's going to be including AMP stories. It's a big story prior to WordCamp Europe. And
Did you get a chance to look at the beta version or release candidate? How to create AMP stories in Gutenberg?
Yeah, so I haven't taken the beta for a spin yet. But what I've seen so far, it's a natural fit with Gutenberg. Gutenberg blocks really allow for a smooth UX interaction when creating stories. And they're using some interesting design patterns to achieve a particular level of customization. The two things I'm talking about here are the ability to rotate blocks that they have. And then they're including also a template picker of sorts. Both are super helpful, and I definitely want to review them in more detail. I'm also very curious to see any results from usability testing with this release. What about you, Birgit? What are your thoughts?
Well, I after I saw a few stories published by the Guardian's website last year or from the BBC, I was very excited when I heard that AMP stories are coming to the AMP plugin. And that the team around Alberto Medina, Weston Rudder, Pascal Birkler, and others are working on bringing AMP stories to Gutenberg. I haven't been that excited about visual web development for a long time. And the wait is almost over for that, waiting since last WordCamp US, where they told me about it. And about an hour ago, actually, Weston Rudder tweeted that there is a release candidate, and the final release is scheduled for Wednesday, June 19th, 5 o'clock in Berlin, local time, just in time for WordCamp Europe. But AMP stories also will have a special place in Google's heart, their search results pages. They announced at their I.O., last month, that's a developer conference last month, that they will show the AMP stories from travel sites on top of search results pages. And I got really excited because I'm here in a local environment that's mainly, main economic industry is tourism. And we can show our clients how to build these wonderful AMP stories with a plugin and create visually attractive user experience about their places they might visit. And the business organization and tour guides won't need a dedicated developer team to produce those stories to show off their tourist destination. And so they can use the AMP plugin. Even if their site is not AMP verified, it still works. So I'm really excited about this. Of course, I am also excited about AMP, but it more fixes what publishers kind of ruined for us in the last 10 years with all the ads and all the weight that they put in and all the tracking. And AMP definitely helps make that experience faster and easier to handle. We will have a Gutenberg Times live Q&A with Alberto Medina, Pascal Birchler, and the designer, Kathy Bosco. And it will be on July 26 at 2 p.m. Eastern on our YouTube channel. And if you subscribe to our e-news on the Gutenberg Times, you'll get the details right into your inbox.
Oh, cool.
All right. So we have another two topics that we wanted to talk about, I think. I don't know how many topics we have, but just kind of go through it. But one that made really some waves in the in Europe at ReactConf was the rich text project spearheaded by Ella van Dorp, who built the new rich text component, among others, of course, that was integrated into Gutenberg earlier, I think, this year. And in the show note, you will have the link to the Gutenberg, the rich text roadmap. And there are meetings happening on Wednesdays on the core editor channel. Mark, so for the layman and women, what exactly is the rich text component?
Yeah, so the rich text component is great for the development of custom blocks. It lets you create content editable input with some basic formatting options, including bold, italic, strike through. You can create links. There's some like things like inline images now. And it's basically a block, like allows block developers to create things like headings or paragraphs within their own block. Does that make sense, Birgit?
Yeah, it does. Thanks for clarifying. I think it's basically a feature that allows me as a developer to give users a toolbar for text formatting for my blocks, whatever block I come up with. That's really cool.
Yeah, exactly. It's so the roadmap that Ella's put together has some really nice features coming up. They want to include text coloring, footnotes, checklist button on the list block, mentions rewrite, and Ella's really broken down the roadmap quite well. For those listening that want to review it further, it's issue number 13778 in the Gutenberg repo on GitHub.
So you mentioned it before when we talked about the Contributor Day for WordCamp Europe. The block directory is one of the nine priorities that Matt Mullenweg mentioned in his State of the Word at WordCamp US 2018. And it's in the prototype phase. Matt Joyce has done a fair amount of publishing about the process on the design make blog. So this will introduce a completely new feature for content creators to search and find blogs outside their own site or on their site with the possibility to install single blogs instead of plugins with a whole lot of them. The research and the user experience flow and the last update about the prototype is well worth a read to learn more about the features. Mark, I haven't seen yet, is there a discussion how developers can offer blocks for this new directory? For this work, there needs to be a similar mechanism that existing plugins and themes have.
Yeah, those are great questions, Birgit. Unfortunately, I don't have all the answers in detail. I know there's a lot of research happening though right now. Last month, Alex Shields posted a bit about this on the Make Meta blog. And he mentioned that these single block plugins will be a subset of the existing plugin directory, but with more restrictions. With the help of like a JSON file or something similar, these will be identified and included in the search function of the Gutenberg block inserter. And Mel Choice has pointed out a couple times that it's really a way to get rid of like dead ends in your flow of content creation as you're building your website. So if you're searching for a particular block and you don't happen to have it installed, it'll present you hopefully with some results that may not be included quite yet in your website, but that you can add straight from the flow of creating content. And ultimately, the plugin block developers will need to follow those guidelines set forth and be included in the subset. And I imagine they can simply upload these single block plugins as they would any other plugin in the plugin directory. To find out more information, attending the Meta team meetings in Slack, I believe their meetings are biweekly on Wednesdays. But that would, you probably ask some great questions there.
Oh, good. Another Wednesday meeting. W like WordPress. Everything happens on Wednesdays. Well, I'm just joking about that because there's the editor meeting in the morning. And then I have WordCamp US meeting right after that. And then we have the core new contributors meeting, the core meeting. And then, yeah, bi-weekly, then the meta meeting. So, but thanks for breaking this down for me.
Yeah, there's a lot on Wednesday, aren't there? I get up at 6 a.m. for that editor, core editor meeting.
Right. Yeah, that's a long day. Yeah. but this doesn't sound that as complicated as I thought it might be. And I think that existing plugins will probably... can just be modified and kind of add that JSON file that you were kind of thinking about with the, so JSON is a data file, like a comma separated value list. So we have all the design documents and the meta teams post in the show notes for you. And so now is the moment to get involved if you want to be part of the decision-making process. It's all in the open. And there are a lot of good discussions had on the Make blogs and also on the GitHub repository. So go there and check it out.
Yeah. So yeah. We definitely are encouraging everybody that can contribute and be a part of this. And if there's any questions, we really make an attempt to try to answer them, help guide you into some of the maybe easier issues to get involved with, just to get people's feet in the door with contributing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think hearing from a lot of plugin developers that are interested in block distribution contribute to that discussion, especially when it goes towards the part where you're also thinking about premium plugins, because that's also a major part of the WordPress ecosystem, is the business models around it. Not every any developers in the space needs to eat, needs to make money at some point to feed his family. And that's going to be really a nice way to kind of expand the ecosystem.
Right.
So I think for now we are at the end. Do you have anything else that triggered a thought that you wanted to kind of get into the show today?
No, not right now. This has been a good show. I think we've packed it with some information here.
Right. Yeah. Me too. Yeah. And so this is the end then of our introductory episode of this completely new podcast, the Gutenberg Changelog. The music was created by my longtime friend, Homer Gaines. And he's a developer by day and a maker of music by night. And Homer Gaines has been producing music and scores for independent film projects since the early 90s. Finding inspiration in many genres, his music is kinematic with an ambient of lo-fi mix of rhythmic undertones and driving beats that flood the environment and become the backdrop of every mood. He writes when he made the music available, the Gutenberg Changelog title music is called More Free Time of the album Movement. More free time. Can we all have that? Yes. And Mark Urain, a co-host of the show, created the Gutenberg Change logo, and it was inspired by Gutenberg logo designer Crystal Rossignol. Will be on your podcatcher, wherever, whatever tool you use, we're going to use that. The show notes will be published on gutenbergtimes.com/podcast. And if you have questions or suggestions, or you just want to say hi, and all have news that you want us to include, send them to changelog@gutenbergtimes.com. That's changelog@gutenbergtimes.com. So this is it for today. We will record the next episode in a month, July 12th, because we're all traveling. And then we will try to do this every week so we don't have to have the full, all the stories, all the big stories there. So until next month, I wish you a safe trip to Europe. Say hi to everybody over there, Mark. And thanks for doing this with me.
Thank you. And thank you to our listeners.
Thank you. And goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.